Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Burning Hearts, using scripture to draw us into a deeply intimate conversation with the Lord. Rachel asks us to consider two questions. What is God saying to us? And what are we doing about it?
Hello, friends, and welcome back to Burning Hearts with me, Rachel Herbeck. We are halfway through our week on really just the intro of 1 Thessalonians. And you can go back to listen to our first couple of days because we talked about a little of the background of this church, Paul's history with this church. And so we see different ways that he's going to be encouraging them in persecution, that he's encouraging them in growing in spiritual maturity. We'll see that today. And we see how 1 Thessalonians is, yeah, that growth in spiritual maturity. And that if we ever make our way to 2 Thessalonians, we'll see that it's preparation for the second coming. Paul really teaching on misunderstandings about the second coming and how they can receive the Lord and be ready to receive him. And so yesterday we left off talking about this verse that Paul says of the gospel came to you, this gospel that we brought you, the gospel of Jesus Christ did not just come in words. It's not just an exchange of words, but it's power and it's in the Holy Spirit. And it's with full conviction, which we're going to talk about today. So we talked about that yesterday, the power of the gospel for all of those who receive it. So again, as we begin, I'm just going to read a little bit of Psalm 14. Again, we're just going through the Psalms, beginning in Psalm 1, as we pray, just to start and pray with the church in that way, pray with David in that way, and have the Psalms. I don't know about you, but for me, the Psalms we've been reading, I don't read them ahead of time, and they really begin to like express something on my heart. They really express something in there that I didn't even know was in there. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So we're going to be in Psalm 14. The fool says in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. Their deeds are vile. There is no one who does good. The Lord looks down from heaven on all mankind to see if there are any who understand, any who seek God. All have turned away. All have become corrupt. There is no one who does good, not even one. Do all these evildoers know nothing? They devour my people as though eating bread. They never call on the Lord. But there they are, overwhelmed with dread. For God is present in the company of the righteous. You evildoers frustrate the plans of the poor, but the Lord is their refuge. Oh, that salvation for Israel would come out of Zion when the Lord restores his people. Let Jacob rejoice and Israel be glad. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Where it looks like, you know, as we've been going, if you've been listening in the Psalms this week, it looks like David is discouraged and frustrated about those around him and how they're acting, right? And I don't know if you ever feel that way or you look out in the world and you feel discouraged about the state of the world. But what was sticking out to me as we prayed this psalm is God is present in the company of the righteous. God is present in the company of the righteous. And so to not spend so much time worrying about what other people are doing, but to say, Lord, make me righteous and I want to be present with you. I want you to keep company with me. I want God to keep company with me. So that's an encouragement of Lord, help us walk in righteousness today so that you will keep company with us, so that you will sit with us, so that you'll be with us, because we are not wicked. We will not be overwhelmed with dread. And so going back to 1 Thessalonians, again, we talked yesterday about the gospel coming in power. And I want to read this section again. For we know, brethren, beloved by God, that he has chosen you. For our gospel came to you not only in word, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit and with full conviction. You know what kind of men we proved to be among you for your sake. And you became imitators of us and of the Lord. For you received the word in much affliction, with joy inspired by the Holy Spirit, so that you became an example to all the believers in Macedonia and Achaia. For not only has the Lord God sounded forth from you in Macedonia and Achaia, but your faith in God has gone forth everywhere, so that we need not say anything. For they themselves report concerning us what a welcome we had among you and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus, who delivers us from the wrath to come. And so even though we went over it yesterday, I want to go back to that verse 5. For our gospel came to you not only in word, but in power and in the Holy Spirit. So yesterday we talked about how we should have expectation that when the word of God goes out, even when the scriptures are read at mass, friends, even when the gospel is proclaimed, when the deacon or the priest reads the gospel, that there's power that goes out, power to change us, power to heal, power for salvation is in the word of life. And so to change our expectation and say the Holy Spirit is on us, the Holy Spirit is on this word, and power is going out. But I love this. This is the gospel came to you in not only in word, but in power in the Holy Spirit and with full conviction, completely convinced. The gospel came to them with full conviction. Paul's saying, when we preached it to you, we were completely convinced about the gospel, about its power, about the Holy Spirit being in it, about it being true, about it actually changing and affecting you. And I think sometimes we like go, whether it's to conferences or whether it's in listening to Catholic content or whether it's sharing things with other people. And how much conviction do we really have that as we share about the person of Jesus, that in that moment, that person's life could change? Do we actually act like we're communicating life-saving news that has the full effectivity of the Holy Spirit behind it? Or are we just like, yeah, here, take it if you want it. Take it if you want it. I think one of the results of kind of living in the culture we're living in is we get so watered down and we get so afraid of what other people are going to think of us. And because we're living in such an intense relativistic culture, sometimes we don't even realize how much we apply that relativism to ourselves. And yes, we never want to impose people with the gospel. Yes, we want to propose, not impose. But a lot of times we present the gospel and we're like, yeah, so I don't know, do you want to like maybe hear about this thing that, I don't know, kind of changed my life? And if it works for you, totally good if it works for you. But meanwhile, if Jesus has changed our life, if he's done this, Paul's like, he made me blind and now I see. Paul's like, he changed me. He brought me from death to life. This is what God has done in me. And now I'm on the road and I'm telling everyone about him. And I'm saying, this is the message that you have to hear. And this is what it did in me. So I am completely convinced of what God can do. I am completely convinced that he is good. I am completely convinced that he is powerful. And I'm completely convinced that when I tell people Jesus Christ is alive, he saved you from sin and death, he's bringing you home to the Father, that will actually change you and that power will go out. What would happen if we actually expected the gospel to change people? If we stopped communicating it like, oh, here's just a really nice story that I want to tell you, and hopefully down the road somewhere we'll see fruit from it, and maybe one day you might believe it. Yeah, sometimes it takes a while to walk with people. But Paul's saying, the gospel that we brought to you, we brought it in power and in the Holy Spirit and with full conviction that this is real, that this is life, that everything you need. I think sometimes approaching people in our lives that might be going through hardship or suffering and have turned away from God is praying for them that they would receive the gospel and loving them with a full conviction that sometimes we might not know the right thing to say. Sometimes we might not know how to sit with people in their suffering, but we do know whatever human heart needs. And the reality is, friends, that every single human heart needs the same remedy. Every single human heart has the same sickness. No matter what we say our identity is, no matter how we're living our lives, no matter what sin we're in, no matter the depravity or the darkness that we're living in, no matter what it is, every single person on the face of the earth needs the gospel of Jesus Christ. This is the only remedy. Every single person on the face of the earth, no matter who it is, no matter how much they believe it or realize it, is sick with the disease of sin. Every single person on the face of the earth without the saving power of Jesus is headed to eternal damnation and not to eternal glory. Every single person on the face of the earth, whether it's the person you see at the gas station, whether it's your family member that has left the church and seems totally fine, whether it's a wealthy person in your life that seems like they have everything they could ever want and they're so happy and perfect, but they don't have the Lord. Every single person, every single celebrity, every single NBA player, every single person that has anything that it seems like your life is all together, every single person on the face of the earth has a desperate hole in their heart for the person of Jesus. And this is why we can come with full conviction, not presuming, not forcing, not imposing, but with a conviction and a confidence to say, I know what every person needs because the longing of my heart was Jesus Christ, and this is what he did in me. And so, friends, are we fully convinced? Are we getting pushed around by the world? Are we watering down the message because we're not fully convinced? Maybe you're harboring that distrust still in your heart of that way that you feel like God didn't come through for you that one time, of the time that you prayed really hard and you didn't see the healing, of the time that you didn't think you saw the power in the way that the power was supposed to come. Are we fully convinced, or are we letting these fears and these doubts hold us back that no matter what we see, no matter what we feel, that God is a trustworthy God and he is a God of eternal life. He is a God who's completed the work. He is the one that we need and that every single person needs. We have to be fully convinced of this. And so here is a question that Jesus is asking you today. Are you fully convinced? Not just for others, but for yourself. Do you have full conviction that the gospel is the power of salvation? Do you have full conviction that there is no other way, that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life? Do you have full conviction that people will not get to heaven unless they know him? Do you have full conviction that there is a heaven, that there is a hell? Do you have full conviction of the teachings of the church? Are you fully convinced that Jesus Christ is who he says he is? Because a Christian lifestyle isn't enough. It's not enough to say, oh, this is how God fits into my life. This is how I'm walking with the Lord and everything's fine for me. But when it comes to actually showing that to somebody else, the thing, the witness is our full conviction. And a lot of times, friends, we're not seeing the power of the gospel because we're not fully convinced. We don't actually believe deep in our hearts. And I think this is a time where we can ask the Lord, especially on the heels of Pentecost, Lord, give me a fresh faith. Give me full conviction of the things that are unseen so I can see your power go out, so I can see your Holy Spirit working, so I can witness to the fact that this is real. If Christians are wishy-washy on the reality of Jesus, on the power of the gospel, if they don't see that your life is changed, people will not believe. And so, Lord, come into these places in our hearts where we're not fully convinced. Come into these places in our hearts where we're not fully convinced of who you are, where we're not fully convinced of the power of the gospel, and show us, give us a demonstration of your power in the Holy Spirit so that we may go deeper in the conviction that your gospel is the only gospel and that you are the only way. Amen.
Burning Hearts is hosted by Rachel Herbeck, the Director of Young Adult Discipleship for Renewal Ministries. Each program can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and at RenewalMinistries.net. Burning Hearts is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Throughout the scriptures, Jesus' teaching on the conditions for salvation are consistent, urgent, and often very challenging. Friends, I'd like to offer you my friend Pete Burek's new booklet, What Must I Do to Be Saved? This booklet unpacks several gospel passages to help us find and stay on the narrow way. To get your free copy, call 1-800-282-4789 or visit renewalministries.net/burninghearts. That's renewalministries.net/burninghearts.